The Northern Ireland Assembly has voted to continue the special post-Brexit trading arrangement known as the Windsor Framework. Despite opposition from some unionist areas, the laws to maintain an invisible border on the island of Ireland were passed by 42 votes to 35. We're joined now by the leader of the SDLP, Matthew O'Toole. Good morning. His party voted for
morning.
You voted for the continuation of the Windsor Framework yesterday. Perhaps we should begin by reminding people just what the Windsor Framework is and why it came into being.
Well, the Windsor Framework is what used to be known as the Protocol. It's a set of arrangements which keeps Northern Ireland bound to certain parts of EU law, particularly relating to the movement of goods and also customs. That's to avoid, as you said, a hard border on the island of Ireland. It's also true to say that there are huge opportunities from our position. We have access into both markets in a way that no other part of, frankly, the continent or the world does. So there are challenges we need to work through, but there's also huge opportunities. So we voted yesterday to extend those protections, but also we made an argument, as we did in Brussels last week, that we need to do more to embrace the opportunities from our unique position at the crossroads of the UK and European markets, because we really do have lots of opportunities ahead of us.
Now, unionists, they've argued that the additional bureaucracy involves creating, it creates friction in the internal UK market. They voted against it yesterday. Were there any efforts to find some compromise or common ground on this issue before the vote?
Well, I mean, it's important to say it's a straightforward yes, no vote. This vote is was provided for in the initial withdrawal agreement between the UK and EU. So there wasn't really an opportunity to, you can't really do much more than have a yes, no option in terms of whether it's extended. But there will be, under the Windsor Framework, what's called an independent review in terms of how, which will look at how the protocol is operating. Now, we're very keen that, yes, that looks at how some processes work in terms of moving goods from Britain into Northern Ireland. But we also wanted to look at some of the disruptions to the all-island economy, because while there isn't a hard border in terms of moving goods or moving cattle or consignment of food or other products across the border in Ireland, well, there are a whole range of other disruptions to cross-border life across the all-island economy. For example, the rights and protections and processes for people who are frontier workers, cross-border workers. That's a huge area of potential economic growth on the island. So we want to look at those barriers, but we also want to look at the North's potential going forward, because we've got this unique position. Not only are we bound by certain bits of EU law, but obviously people in Northern Ireland are entitled to Irish and therefore EU citizenship by birthright. We also have the right to re-accede to the European Union in a future referendum, should we choose to do so. So that means we're in a unique position as citizens as well as under the protocol. So we want to take advantage of that. We'd like to have representation in the European Parliament. We'd like to participate in more EU programmes, including exploring the possibility of the European Investment Bank perhaps getting involved in some of the shared island infrastructure funding. So we have a whole list of things we want to expand on in terms of the protocol and advantages we'd like to look at. It's not just from our perspective about some of the processes, it's about the opportunities too.
So you're working towards, hopefully, a better arrangement in the future. Do you see any point at all where the framework may not be necessary?
Well, I think the scenarios in which the framework aren't necessary are either the UK rejoining the EU, the UK entering into a series of agreements that soften Brexit massively. Mm-hmm. One of those would be a comprehensive veterinary agreement. We would obviously encourage that. Of course, in the scenario of a constitutional change in Ireland and the whole island rejoining the EU, as in Northern Ireland getting back into the EU because it was a new European United Ireland, those would all be circumstances in which the particular arrangements wouldn't be required anymore. I think it's important to say we obviously favour the latter outcome, and indeed we also encourage the UK to sign as many agreements, including a comprehensive veterinary agreement, to soften the processes. But in the short term, before all that happens or any of those outcomes happen, we need to ensure the protections continue to exist, and we need to take advantage of them. Could I just briefly, one quick point I just wanted to make earlier on, you referred to me as the leader of the SDLP. I'm the leader of our group in the Assembly and the leader of the opposition, but my colleague Claire Hannah leads our party overall, but my role is in the Assembly.
Okay, happy to clarify that. Matthew O'Toole, thank you very much for joining us.